You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
South African entrepreneurs were the most resilient entrepreneurs in the world. I remember having a conversation at some point with one of the executives in South Africa, Dov Gurnan, around the quality of South African entrepreneurs. And we've got yet another example of such quality being showcased on the world stage. We've got a South African female entrepreneur named Samantha Rosenberg, who's achieved what many might deem rather impossible in some instances. She's gone and raised, together with her business partner, the pre-seed funding they've needed to start their business, and get this, to the tune of 70 million rand. She joins me now on the line to take a look at this and understand what it is that she's up to. Good evening, Samantha. Thanks so much for taking the time. Before we get to the raise and all the interesting bits, what is Belong?
Hi, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me. In discussing Belong, let's first discuss what we call the paradox of wealth, which is that to build sustainable long-term wealth, you need two things, time and money, because you need your money to compound over time. But the problem is that we seldom have these two things simultaneously, because when we're young, we typically have a lot of time ahead of us, but we feel like we don't have enough capital to invest. And when we're older, we have more capital, but less time for it to compound. And in addition to this, we struggle with a whole bunch of emotional and behavioral and technical blockers that are actually financially detrimental. So Belong is a wealth building app aimed at breaking down the barriers that are preventing people from investing, especially young people, with a real focus on solving this paradox by encouraging people to get into the market earlier with more. And the one way we do this is with our innovative new Boost Loan feature.
What is the Boost Loan feature? What does that do?
So the Boost Loan is a feature that sits on top of our platform. Before I dive into that, it's important to note that as a business, we fundamentally believe in the true Warren Buffett approach of diversify, buy and hold. So this is a long-term proposition, Belong, it's in our name, and customers can currently only invest in broadly diversified index tracking funds. Yeah, the name took a while to get. We didn't just come up with that.
Very smart, very, very clever at the end there.
Yeah, it was worth the work. So it's really this Warren Buffett approach. And then with that in mind, we offer customers an optional loan to scale up a long-term investment in equities. So we've created this new low interest Boost Loan feature, which allows more money to be invested upfront, thus magnifying the effect of compounding over time. So customers then pay the Boost Loan separately in monthly installments, allowing their investment to continue to grow, much like how a mortgage behaves with property, where you borrow money from a bank to invest in property. We're enabling you to borrow money to invest in a diversified portfolio of equities.
That's quite interesting. And who does the diversification? Who does the investing side of it? Is that still at the discretion of the investor, or is it more of a passive kind of platform? I come in as Jimmy, put down my 100 rand and then just wait for my return, and there's portfolio managers on the other end that deal with it.
I'd say it's somewhere in between those two things. So it's certainly, we see it as passive. We don't give any advice. We offer customers four index tracking funds. So it's at their discretion which of those four index tracking funds they choose. So there's the S&P 500, MSCI World, there's a FTSE option and an ESG option. And the customer decides which of those four funds they'd like to invest in. It's at their discretion. And then those funds are managed at the fund manager level.
That's quite interesting. Sam, let's get into the real nitty-gritties. Let's get into why we're having this conversation, right? How did you even raise £3 million at pre-seed?
With a lot of passion.
What was the most difficult part of that journey? Obviously, I guess from my perspective as well, being in the entrepreneurial space, in the asset space as well, I understand the pains of going through a raise. But what did you find most difficult around that process?
I think very much linked to that, the amount of passion that my co-founder and I held between the two of us, because it was just the two of us in the fundraise and a pitch deck and our passion. And when you feel so deeply that something should exist and you have validated it for yourself, you've spoken to your customers, you've got your business plan, and you hear a lot of no's, that's hard. And it's having to pick yourself up every time you hear no, every time you get a ding, and dust yourself off and just keep going. And it's how you turn those no's into fuel rather than letting them dishearten you or let you doubt yourself, because it's very easy to have a very well-educated, informed person who understands the market tell you that this isn't going to work, and for you to be like, oh my gosh, is there actually something I'm missing? So I think it's the ability to turn the no into fuel.
Sam, 70 million rands worth of passion is now a reality. It's now a live thing with the business, and you guys are already onto your next raise and about to close the next raise. Do you want to tell us about that and what's happening there?
Yeah, so we raised this funding, as I said, off a pitch deck. And since then, we've made significant strides and substantial progress. You would have seen with the recent announcement this week that we've now launched the business. The app is ready. It's actually been ready for quite some time. We, however, took just over a year to spend testing with real live paying customers. So the platform, we built the platform. We got the regulatory clearance that we needed in order to sell the proposition to customers. We have the lenders lined up. We did everything we needed to do, the tech, that's all done in-house. And we then put it out to our customers about 15 months ago. We had a waitlist of customers that we'd built in stealth, and we started onboarding customers, and we tested this platform for 15 months. And we are now opening up the platform to the public. And what the current fundraise that we are in the process of closing will do is enable us to scale that platform and start proving the traction in the public market.
Sam, now your background is in behavioral finance as an economist. How did that play into, one, the thinking behind some of the builds and some of the features and offerings of the platform, but two, when you were raising as well, did you start to see certain patterns or certain things emerge with the capital side of things or the investors that you were engaging with in this process?
That's a meaty question. I'm going to answer it in two parts. So the first part around how we built it, we haven't gotten into this yet. My co-founder and I were introduced by a mutual friend. And when we asked him why he introduced us, he always said that we were speaking to him about the same problem, but using slightly different language. She has a very technical financial background. She was an investment banker. And I, of course, have this behavioral background, behavioral finance, economics, consulting. And he said, we're speaking to him about the same problem, except in slightly different languages, because she was speaking in very rational financial terms. People should be getting into the market earlier with more. We should be like, if we can borrow money to buy a house, why can't we borrow money to invest in equities? And I was speaking to him about all the behavioral things that were blocking young people from investing, present bias, the fact that it's impossible to expect, with all the instant gratification around us, it's so difficult for the current self to make decisions for the future self. It's so difficult for Sam today to give up 100 rand so that Sam 10 years from now can have 10,000 rand, because Sam 10 years from now is a complete stranger to me. And what we were seeing in the market was a lot of playing on instant gratification, which is completely adverse to long-term wealth building. So the behavioral side is really in the bones of the proposition. We always say it's the emotional and the rational that we've tied together in this proposition. And then also in terms of the app and the user experience, things like the fact that we only offer our customers four index tracking funds, that came out of our customer research. Customers told us they go onto some other platforms, they are presented with hundreds and thousands of stocks to pick. They have no idea what to do, so they close the app and they keep their money in cash. So that was actually blocking people, choice overload. So it was in thinking about how we can unblock the customer based on the customer research with things like that. Mm. That's on the behavioral, on how we use behavioral science in the proposition. How it plays out in the investor space, that's different, which I can get to.
Go for it.
It's very interesting. As a behavioral economist, I am constantly self-diagnosing myself, my loved ones, everyone around me on their irrationalities, their predictable irrationalities. And so, of course, when one is going through something like a fundraise, one looks for the behavioral science behind the process. And what I landed on, or what I have landed on, is this idea of pattern recognition. And it's the way our brains work. It's how we optimize efficiency. There's system one and system two. System one is the quick thinking. You get into the car, you put on your seatbelt. You don't make a conscious decision. 1 + 1 = 2, that's system one. System two is 256 times 375. You could probably get to the answer, but you'd have to do a bit more thinking. And system one is where we make most of our decisions as humans because it's efficient. If we made all our decisions in system two, we'd be a very inefficient humanity. And so system one relies on pattern recognition and looking for patterns. And I think in the fundraising process, it's around figuring out how you can match the pattern. Because if we take the extreme example of what a successful founder looks like, a successful tech founder, it's probably a white male who went to Stanford and went through Y Combinator, is now a third time founder, and they're raising. I'd invest in that person. If that's the pattern, it's figuring out how you match that pattern and how you play to your strengths in that pattern. And then in doing so, you stretch the pattern. Because Avion and I, we don't meet that pattern that I just described, but we kind of meet some of it. Avion, we both went to business school. Avion has a background in investment banking. She's very technical finance. I worked in finance. I've got the behavioral science aspect, which is very relevant to the proposition we're building. So it was all around just that, as I said, pattern recognition.
Pattern recognition and passion is how we get to a 70 million rand raise. What an impressive raise. Congratulations, Sam. We wish you all of the best for your business, for both you and your partner. And we look forward to seeing how this business positively impacts the lives of South Africans and the world in general. That's Sam Rosenberg, who is the founder and Chief Operating Officer of Belong, or Belong, joining me to just reflect on how they raised such a massive amount in their initial round of raising and what they're busy with in terms of the business today.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.